If you are Australian, chances are you know the rock band called the Go-Betweens. The band has been influential around the world, although it's not as well known in the U.S. In 2006, one of the group's founders died suddenly of a heart attack, and the Go-Betweens came to an end. Now one remaining member, Robert Forster, has put out a solo album. Our music critic, Robert Christgau, likes it.
The impolite truth is that Robert Forster was the Go-Betweens' lesser half. Grant McLennan, Forster's friend and partner for his entire adult life, took up music at Forster's urging. But it was the late McLennan who again and again gave this song band what every song needs most, a good tune. That was perhaps the Go-Betweens' catchiest song, Right Here, from their Tallulah. The catchiest song on Forster's first solo album in 12 years, The Evangelist, is It Ain't Easy, and the melody on that one is McLennan's too, one of half a dozen he and Forster were working out when McLennan died.
And a river ran and a train ran and a dream ran through everything that he did. There was melody, there was harmony, there was sweet cherie, but it was melody he loved most of all.
Forster borrows two other McLennan tunes on this contemplative, rather mournful record. But the opener is solely his own, If It Rains, about a literal drought and, more generally, environmental peril.
If it rains, we'll worship again. We've seen what came without the rain. We'll be thankful that it came. If it rains.
That stark, almost religious reverie is followed immediately by Demon Days, a less pointed song of disquiet, further softened by another Grant McLennan melody.
And these demon days were pulling our pay. The lights on the hill are freezing us still. The fingers of fate stretch out and take us to a night. Something's not right. Something's gone wrong.
I like both these songs. I like every song on The Evangelist, which is easily Robert Forster's strongest solo CD. But the odd thing is that although McLennan's Demon Days is catchier, in the end, the old Forster All the Time, If It Rains, is more striking and sticks harder. That's how it was on all three albums the Go-Betweens released in this decade, after an amicable 10-year layoff. McLennan's facility always drew you in, but Forster's sensible, prosaic voice made a deeper and sharper impression. Artistically as well as personally, Forster will miss his dearest friend for the rest of his life. Songs have never come easy to him, so he may well draw on McLennan's tune stock again. But if he comes up with material as strong as The Evangelist's title cut, about bringing his wife to Australia from her native Germany, he'll be fine.
I took her out of her home, a cabin near the woods, and took her to this desert with threatening neighborhoods. Well, I believe.
The new album by Robert Forster is called The Evangelist. Our reviewer, Robert Christgau, writes the Consumer Guide column of music for MSN Networks.
Baby, there was gold in that dust.
Our program is directed by Greg Dixon, edited by Allison McAdam, and produced by Neil Carruth. The technical director is Bill Deputy. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson.
At the National Desk, Steve Drummond, Uri Berliner, Cindy Johnston, Ron Elving, Beth Donovan, Ken Rudin, Quinn O'Toole, Elisa Barba, and Kate Kincannon. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Let's sail away, baby. Let's sail.
Back now with Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. A lot of people are drawn to this fantasy of living an alternative life, of just being someone else.
Okay, Alex. So your alter ego would be?
Could be a screenwriter, could be a sponge, but either way, it would be in the South Pacific.
Well, that's alluring. You know, I'd say having these split personalities, these sort of dual personalities, well, that would require, well, someone who is highly creative and maybe, I don't know, maybe someone who's actually delusional.
Well, let's not say delusional in the case of classical violist Mike Kelly, but he has figured out how to cross back and forth between two very different musical worlds. And for him, he says that it means really inventing an alter ego and then the struggle to keep that alter ego in check. We have the story from New Hampshire Public Radio's Dan Gornstein.
Sorry, I was late. I'm really sorry.
Mike Kelly spends a lot of his time at the Apple Hill Center for Chamber Music. The campus is tucked away in the hilly southwestern corner of New Hampshire.
I'm the violist, the professional violist in the resident string quartet.
Kelly, a former child prodigy, went to the Oberlin Conservatory and on to the Juilliard School. As a member of the Apple Hill Quartet, he's performed around the world. The Apple Hill campus feels like the setting for an L.L. Bean catalog photo shoot. A refurbished wooden barn, a west-facing gazebo, a dirt road visited by the occasional Subaru station wagon.
Yeah, I love it up here. A beautiful view, sunset goes down over the hills.
But this world is nothing like Kelly's other one. This song is off Kelly Poehler's second album, I Need You to Hold On While the Sky is Falling. Kelly Poehler is, well, let's have Mike introduce him.
Kelly Poehler is the anarchist, hedonist, space-traveling, disco, dance music-loving, far-out, cosmic space traveler.
Kelly Poehler, Mike Kelly's other identity, is an electronic dance music composer and performer. As quiet and refined as Mike Kelly's New Hampshire classical music world is, Poehler's pop music world is decadent, bizarre, and extreme.
One thing I learned about doing live Kelly Poehler shows, however out of control I was, it was always better if I was even more out of control the next time.
Poehler says life in this weird world has led him to some extraordinary places. Like a few weeks ago, he was performing at a club in East Berlin, a place called the Panorama Bar.
So the music is deafeningly loud, and there's people dancing around, there's people screaming, there's people getting kind of like out of their heads. There's absolutely unbelievably bizarre things going on. And then below it is this club Bergain, and as you go further and further down, it gets kind of more and more hardcore in terms of debauchery. And then, like, finally, the next to last floor, there's a grate. And it's
what happens under the grate is probably best left to your imagination.
It's really far out.
Mike Kelly came to New Hampshire almost 7 years ago, after his high-octane, bright lights, big city life started to come down around him. He remembers those nights, right at the end, before he decided he had to leave New York.
There was a visiting delegation of mycologists who were studying mushrooms. And we ended up partying on a rooftop in Chinatown with a troupe of Icelandic ballerinas and eventually, you know, flooded the apartment building, a huge police action, you know, which some or all of that may be completely true.
The New York club scene fed the Kelly Poehler part of Mike Kelly, that hedonistic, decadent part, and it had gotten the best of him. So he escaped to Apple Hill, a safe place where he'd played music as a kid. Here, he could return to his classical roots and let Kelly Poehler roam without getting in trouble.
I have to say, even though it's probably really psychologically disturbing, I love the fact that I basically have this really
probably bizarrely overdeveloped inner fantasy world. And I don't think that would have happened unless I was here.
Kelly says this world has unfolded on his runs along the old logging roads cut through Apple Hill's 10,000 acres of woods.
Creatures living out in the middle of space that, you know, communicate by these gravity waves. Or maybe you have a concert that is going to be so loud and so big that you have to do it on a planetary scale.
One white skull used to be a friend of mine. To Adam's case, and what a funny Valentine.
That vivid fantasy landscape has helped him produce two Kelly Poehler albums since 2005. Poehler says on his first album, he tried to reach out to those creatures and intergalactic worlds. He laced his lyrics with messages about his desire to get off the planet.
Subtle or not so subtle messages like, I can keep a secret, and I have a planetary claustrophobia that I would appreciate having addressed.
And he tells me the messages were heard.
So you're saying you've been taken off this planet?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Keep going.
Part of Kelly Poehler's whole shtick is being that outrageous man of make-believe.
I apologize. I totally apologize.
To him, it's just another facet of the whole absurd world of pop music. He figures, why bother to correct reports of Poehler's originally from Croatia when Mike Kelly is actually from Providence, Rhode Island? Or why not exaggerate that story about the Icelandic ballerinas on the rooftop in Chinatown? Kelly admits his habit of playing fast and loose with the truth got him in trouble in New York. That's a part of himself he'd try to leave behind.
And so the fact that I have this kind of duplicitous alter ego double life might... It seems like I'm not making much progress.
But the 34-year-old feels like he's found an equilibrium of sorts, both personally and artistically.
Start where, like, measure 52.
Yeah, let's pick
theme.
Up. Yeah, let's pick idea. Up where we left off.
Kelly's planning to move to Providence, also symbolic, he says, because it's halfway between both worlds.
I think probably the danger now is if I get too comfortable, like, Kelly Poehler's going to get really boring and Mike Kelly will get fired.
For NPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein in Concord, New Hampshire.
Back now with Day to Day and She and Him.
I don't want you, but I need you.
She is actress Zooey Deschanel. Maybe you've seen her in the movie Elf or the TV show Weeds.
And the him in this duo is singer and songwriter M. Ward. The M is for Matt. He's worked with plenty of other female singers, Nora Jones, Cat Power, and Nico Case, just to name a few. But he's found a special chemistry, he says, with Zooey on their debut album called Volume 1. Day to Day's Alex Cohen spoke with them earlier this week before a performance at the Vista Theater in Los Angeles.
Zooey Deschanel has been acting in TV shows and films since she was a teenager, but she's been writing songs much longer than that. She wrote her first one when she was just 8 years old. It was about a fair.
Because that's kind of what you're interested in,
yeah,
at
cool.
The age of eight. It had sort of like a oompa
right.
Kind of feel to it. I think it was called I'm Having Fun at the Fair.
Deaf words?
Yeah, yeah. It was very Meet Me in St.
Louis-esque.
Yeah.
Cool.
Things have come a long way since I'm Having Fun at the Fair. Over the years, Deschanel has written and recorded a lot of songs. Songs where she sang harmonies with herself, played backup piano and guitar.
I'd be working here or there, and I would just every day go home and be writing songs and recording them. And it was sort of my way of relaxing. It was what I sort of enjoyed to do. The thing that I enjoyed doing most in my spare time.
In 2006, Deschanel and Ward were both cast in a film called The Go-Getter, and the director asked them to record a duet for the film's soundtrack, a cover of the Richard and Linda Thompson song, When I Get to the Border. When Deschanel and Ward started working on the song in the studio, something clicked.
I knew Zooey's music from Elf, I loved the voice. I thought that there was maybe a Zooey Deschanel record. There wasn't.
Then Ward discovered there were all those demo tapes she'd been recording. He asked to listen to some of them. Deschanel says that request was mildly terrifying.
It's so personal. It's a very personal experience writing music. It's like you hear something and you think, I like it, but then it's hard sometimes the first time you say, like, I wrote this, do you think it's okay? You know, I mean, that's very scary.
So she started safe. She sent him a recording of something she hadn't written.
Swim low, sweet chariot, come for carry me home.
He liked it, so she sent him some of her own compositions.
I was taking a walk.
I just loved the songs, and it's really rare that you find good songs. It's as simple as that.
When I saw you smile, I saw a dream come true.
And the vocal arrangements were, if I could do that on my four-track tapes, I would have done it a long time ago.
Ward persuaded Deschanel to record an album, which they simply titled Volume 1, and they formed a band. Even though their names both have star power, they decided to pick a moniker with just two simple pronouns, she and him.
We both talked about liking the idea of a name that's sort of anonymous and sort of humble. I always like the name The Band because it's not about being like the star of anything, it's about the music.
The music of She and Him is reminiscent of artists like Linda Ronstadt, the Beach Boys, the Ronettes, music that Zooey and Matt listened to as kids on the radio. They also recorded a few covers, including this tribute to the Fab Four.
I should have known better with a guy like you that I would love everything that you do, and I do. Hey,
in an era where many artists rely on synthesizers, computer sampling, and vocal processing, She and Him definitely take the low-tech approach. For instance, on this track called This Is Not a Test, Deschanel uses her mouth as a trumpet of sorts.
I just like music that sounds like music and that people are making the music, not like machines and computers and, you know, things that you design to make things sound slick and perfect.
She and Him have been playing concerts in Austin, Texas, New York, and here in L.A. And though Zooey Deschanel is plenty used to performing, she says going on tour has been a bit different.
As an actor, I'm doing something somebody else wrote, and I'm just sort of interpreting that. It's similar with performing songs, but having written them, it's sort of It's nice because I'm so familiar with the details of the particular emotions I was trying to express.
Take it back. Take it back. I don't want your loving anymore.
They've sold out everywhere they've played, but Deschanel isn't giving up her day job acting anytime soon. She was recently heard as a voice on the TV show The Simpsons and has several films coming out this year, including the one she and M. Ward met on.
I put a spell on you.
Zooey Deschanel and M. Ward say they have plans to put out a follow-up record
because
to Volume 1. The duo isn't quite sure what they'll call it. Maybe
Volume 2. Might be.
It's too early
we
to
like
say.
That name.
Volume 2 has got a nice ring to it.
It's got a great ring to it.
She and Him will perform next at the Oyster Festival in San Francisco later this month. Alex Cohen, NPR News.